The Sydney Symphony at the BBC Proms this Tuesday evening at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 11:45, time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello, on today's programme, I'll be interviewing vocalist of the moment, Jose James, and previewing his brand new collaborative CD recorded with Belgian pianist Jeff Neve. Plus, I've got the latest batch of new releases celebrating the very best of the jazz scene from the UK and beyond. Following his 2006 album, A Day in the Life of B19, Tales from the Tower Block, alto saxophonist Soweto Kinch has released a bold new album entitled The New Emancipation. There's more of an acoustic sound on this outing, merging nicely with some tight hip-hop beats. Kinch says the project sets out to challenge the comfort and complacency of our modern world. He's a man on a mission. Let's hear the ancient work song.
The more they stay the same, it seems. Chasing fame in exchange for a chain, a leash. Except walking willingly to a beast that lays in wait and thieves, when the single aim is to make a name and chase make-believe.
Soweto Kinch on vocals and sax with an ancient work song from his new CD, The New Emancipation. And joining him on this new project are Byron Wallen, Justin Brown, Eska, Femi Tuerno, Shebaka Hutchins and Harry Brown. And you can see Soweto play as part of the London Jazz Festival on November the 18th. When vocalist Jeff Hooper was putting together his collection of songs for his new CD, A Passing Glance, his choice for the opening track was inspired by the joyous ecstasy he felt when he first heard the trumpet master Clifford Brown. With his own lyrics to this Duke Dorden composition, let's hear that track now. Jeff Hooper with Brownie Was King.
I'm gonna sing a song, it's called Geordie. A Clifford Brownie played it just for me. He made the greatest sound and made it swing. Yeah, Brownie was king. Gonna make it clear, it ain't no hoax. The leader of the band was old Max Roach. Swinging hard and fast was just his thing. But Brownie was king. They played every night. It was getting so tight that the people would scream and shout. But that fateful day, he was taken away. We lost the king, but there was never a doubt. Power, Morrow, and Mr. Lamb were the great three that made up the band. They could improvise on anything, but Brownie was king. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-
Sing a song, it's called Jordan. A clear for Brown, he played it just for you. He made the greatest sound and made it swing. Brownie was clean. I'm gonna make it clear, it ain't no hoax. The leader of the band was Old Max Roach. Swinging hard and fast was just his thing. But Brownie was clean.
They played every night. It was getting so tight that the people would scream and shout. But that fateful day, he was taken away. We lost the king, there was never a doubt.
Power Morrow and Mr. Lamb were the great three that made up the band. They could improvise on anything, but Brownie was king.
Brownie was king. Brownie was king.
Jeff Hooper with musical director and arranger Steve Waterman, also playing trumpet there, and flugelhorn. Gareth Williams on piano, Lawrence Cottle on bass, Ralph Salmons on the drums, Derek Lawton on trumpet, Simon Allen playing tenor sax, Alan Barnes on baritone sax, Alistair White on trombone, and Paul Williams on percussion. That was the opening song, Brownie Was King, from Jeff's excellent new release, A Passing Glance, out now on the mainstream record label. And next Sunday, the 29th of August, you can go and hear Jeff sing at Ronnie Scott's Soho, London West One, as part of the Lunchtime Concert Series there. Well, the jazz world is still mourning the loss of three wonderful drummers, all of whom have sadly passed away during the last month. Chris Stagley, Martin Drew and Jack Parnell. Next week we'll pay our tribute to Martin Drew, but today we play two tracks, both of which feature the great artistry of Chris and Jack. For the last 4 years of Chris Stagley's life, he was the house drummer for Ronnie Scott's club alongside pianist James Pearson and bassist Sam Burgess. This is from their live trio recording from the club and features a terrific drum solo from Chris on Ray Noble's Cherokee. Thank you. from Swing the Club, the James Pearson Trio with the Standard Cherokee, and a feature for the late drummer Chris Dagley. And then we went into Skin Deep, Jack Parnell duetting with Phil Seaman from the album Big Band Swing. Chris Dagley and Jack Parnell, much missed and much loved by all. Well, Scottish bassist, composer Ewan Burton and pianist, composer Tom Gibbs have released a new CD with their co-led group, which features the New York-based musicians, drummer Arig Honig and guitarist Gilad Hexelman, with fellow countryman saxophonist Martin Kershaw playing the saxophone. Forgotten Things showcases these two young composer instrumentalists in the best possible setting, and they draw from a variety of different musical styles ranging from classical, pop, rock, funk and folk. Well, this is the track called Little Changes.
Thank you.
Ewan Burton's Little Changes from the new CD by the Ewan Burton Tom Gibbs group entitled Forgotten Things. And that recording is out now on Wee Jazz record label. We're from a gifted young duo to a young pianist extraordinaire and this year's Mercury Music Prize nominee, Kit Downs. His trio album, Golden, was met with much critical acclaim last year. Callum Gourlay plays double bass in this group with the highly creative James Madron at the drums. Here's the title track, inspired by the feeling you get when the sun shines on you. By Kit Downs, this is Golden. Thank you. Golden, the title track of the latest album by Kit Downs and his trio of James Madron on drums and Callum Gourlay on the bass. And Kit will be our special guest on Jazz Lineup on September the 19th. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on DAB digital radio. Well, coming up shortly, I'll be interviewing vocalist Jose James, who celebrates his debut release for the legendary Impulse label. His new recording is a collaborative venture which sees him join forces with the gifted Belgian pianist Jeff Neve. From the album For All We Know, here's their interpretation of the standard Autumn in New York.
Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds in canyons of steel. They're making me feel that I'm the promise of new love. Autumn in New York is often mingled with pain. Dreamers with empty hands, give a sign for exotic lands. This it's good to live it again.
Autumn in New York from the album For All We Know, and that was Jose James and Jeff Neve, and I'm very delighted to welcome Jose into the studio. Hello.
How are you doing? Pleasure to be here.
Well, since you made your mark with your album, The Dreamer, what's been going on? How's things developed?
I've pretty much been on tour since then, really trying to do it old school, go around the world as much as possible and just hit night after night, you know. For All We Know is my third record.
Tell me a little bit, first of all, about Jeff Neve. How did you meet?
We met in Belgium, actually on a radio show like this, like a jazz radio show. And he was playing live, you know, with the band, and I sang some things from The Dreamer. And then we ended doing a standard, and I hadn't sung standards, like, professionally for, I don't know, 4 years or something like that. And we ended doing Lush Life just at his request, and it was so beautiful. It felt like we'd been doing it for a long time. As you know, it's hard to find a good piano player who can follow you and plays what you want them to play.
Who knows Lush Life is a very difficult
tune. That's the other thing. So, basically, the next time I met him, we did this show again, and we ended with Embraceable You. And it was the same vibe. It felt like, you know, we've been doing it forever. So we both had the day off the next day, and I said, let's just record it, go into the studio, just for us, you know, like as an archival piece. And that turned into this record.
Wow.
And then the next week, he came to London. It was crazy. He went to London Jazz Fest, gave it to somebody who gave it to somebody, and gave it to Wolf Mueller at Universal, who said, I love it, I want to sign it, let's go. And they went to New York.
It's
and
like
then
a dream story.
It's crazy.
It's
crazy.
It's great.
Yeah, we didn't have any producer. We didn't have anybody but the two of us.
You had to just go and trust and feel. And you did it in 6 hours. That's a really good sort of jazz session time, isn't it?
That? Yeah, it was just like, let's go in and just hit it. You know, I mean, there was no separation with the microphones or anything like that. So
how did you choose the tracks? They are timeless jazz classic. Did you just sort of like think of a list that you both knew, or how did you end up with these?
Actually, to be totally honest, he didn't know hardly any of these songs. He brought down his fake book. And I know it seems to me, maybe outside of London, but a lot of like European players don't spend a lot of time playing standards. They kind of write their own stuff. Mm. Or then maybe they play instrumentalist stuff, you know, like Herbie things or Wayne Shorter. But he didn't know like Tenderly. He didn't know anything but like Body and Soul and Lush Life. These were all songs that I loved, that I knew I could express myself on, and he was literally like playing it from the book, first take. I mean, it's pretty crazy. The more I talk about it and think about it,
it's very brave of him, but he thought it was just for you and him. I mean, how was he to know that he was
exactly,
you know,
exactly? And I mean, he fell in love with the songs as we played them,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now he's playing Tenderly all the time, so but he's really more of a classical,
it's a lovely pianist, suits you, pianist, suits you, beautiful. So, For All We Know is this record. It's been released on the iconic Impulse label, home to, of course, John Coltrane, Freddie Hubbard, Ferris Saunders, and you're their first signing to the label in over a decade. So it's really sort of invigorating, this label. How did your relationship with the label come about? And you must be absolutely thrilled to be now part of this historic...
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. Because it got signed to Verve in New York, and Verve is Universal Music Group, so they own, you know, the Impulse catalog. And yeah, the last thing was Alice Coltrane, Translinear Light, which is a long time ago.
And what they do you just think is they hearing this? Do you think they're thinking, you know, there's lots of girl singers out there, we need a male jazz singer? Obviously, you'd sing these beautifully, but what's their project for you?
I think the plan is to let me release kind of whatever I want to do that's jazz or experimental. I think it was a good move because...
But it's great for you. You can have so much more artistic freedom. Yeah. How would you have felt being with a label that would steer you more into... I mean, would you have kind of... Would that have sat well with you?
I think it would have been hard. I mean, I'm coming from, you know, Benji B, Giles Peterson, Benga, Dubstep, you know, Flying Lotus.
That would have been too mainstream for you.
Yeah, it's too mainstream. And I think my crowd, you know, I mean, jazz people love what I do. But they're probably about half of my audience. The other half are, you know, usually in their 20s or younger, and they listen to beats. They listen to, you know, I'm one of the vocalists that they even listen to, possibly. So it's really interesting. You know, hopefully I can continue to bring that crowd into jazz, which is my love, and then take jazz people into places that maybe they've never been. I mean, I'm trying to be a bridge between the two worlds.
Sounds good to me. Well, let's see if they'll like this one then. You've chosen Just Squeeze Me. Tell us why you chose this.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Not many people sing it anymore, and they should, because it's fun. I mean, Louis Armstrong, you know, did like the iconic record, and every time I hear it, I just smile. And as I sang it, I was laughing too.
Let's hear it.
Sweet and gentle, when you say good night, just squeeze me, but please don't tease me. I get sent
sentimental when you hold me tight. Just squeeze me, but please don't tease me. Missing you since you went away, singing the blues away each day, counting the nights and waiting for you. I'm in the mood to let you know I never knew I loved you so. Please say you love me too. When I get this feeling, I'm in ecstasy. So squeeze me, but please don't tease me. Singing the blues each day, counting the nights and waiting for you. I'm in the mood to let you know, never knew I loved you so. Please say you love me too. When I get this feeling, I'm in ecstasy. So squeeze me, please don't tease me, just squeeze me. Yes, it just squeeze me. Yes, it just squeeze me. But please don't you tease me.
Just Squeeze Me by Jose James and Jeff Neve from the album For All We Know. And we're talking to Jose James about that album now. How trusting were you with Jeff? How often have you done just that kind of setting? Because it's you're really exposed.
Yeah, there's nowhere to hide. I mean, I learned really quickly every single thing that I need to work on for the next 20 years. It was like, oh, oh.
Playing in a duo is more pure and honest, you know.
That's it.
Stripped
down.
You're
saying, stripped down. Mm. All the emotions, all the little moments, you can really hear it. And I mean, it's been good for me. We've been doing it about 3 months off and on tour. We're going to go through November. And it's been really good for both of us because he doesn't get a chance to play duo.
Yeah, how's he feeling about being? Because, I mean, he's got no bass or drums.
Yeah.
He's doing everything. I mean, are you paying him double for this?
Yeah, right. It's good for him. It's really good for him. You know, again, like, I think it's important to do stuff like that. Because we do sort of tend to lean on the drums maybe too much or the bass too much. And it's just really, it's like push-ups. It just makes you realize, yeah, I can take it further. Mm. And we do take risks. I mean, we've never done it the same way twice. Mm. So we do really try to challenge each other harmonically too. Sometimes it doesn't work, but you know, most of the time it does. Yeah.
You can really only blame each other. You can't blame the drummer.
Exactly.
And also this whole thing I read about you, and you're often quoted as saying you're very keen not to stay in one place, you know, so you're very keen to explore yourself, you know, your musical style. So what have you got your eye on? I mean, is there going to be some sort of drastic operatic thing coming up next? Or, I mean, how far would you go?
Well, I think about two people, actually three people. Ray Charles, I think about Al Green and Marvin Gaye, and they all started as really traditional jazz singers. Mm. And in a way they all kind of had a difficulty maintaining that. I mean, you can go back and find Marvin Gaye sings Nat King Cole album, and how many people have heard that or have that?
Well, I haven't, and I'm gonna go and try and find that.
And it sounds great, but of course we want to hear Sexual Healing, we want to hear. And what's interesting about him and Al Green specifically, they both really wanted to be jazz singers. Mm-hmm. And I think even Biggie Smalls, I just read this, Donald Harrison, the sax player, gave him lessons on, like, you know, scatting and solos and stuff. So I think jazz has always been this kind of secret school for people you would never think of as jazz singers. Or, I mean, after Marvin Gaye heard a Lester Young record, he started singing way more gently. And you can even hear it on his records. There's a certain point where he just starts singing way more breathy and relaxed. And he's like whispering and it's sexy. And it's actually Lester Young. So, I mean, the whole jazz spirit is always going to be there in whatever I do. I do feel, you know, I'm one of the few men to be able to be on a major singing some kind of jazz or jazz-based thing. So I do feel a responsibility to try to bring young people into the jazz, and also infuse whatever I do, if it's more soulful or whatever like that, with that kind of depth.
What do you think makes a good jazz singer? What do you listen for in jazz singer specifically? I mean,
why do we love jazz? We love jazz because it takes us somewhere else. But it's also kind of an emotional honesty. I mean, you listen to Nina Simone or somebody, and it just, I don't know, it's just something that it feels like they're in the moment and that they're giving it everything that they have. But there's some kind of subtlety, too, where they're not giving everything. They're kind of, like somebody told me once that Pavarotti, the main difference between him and a younger singer was like when the band would get to this orchestra, this crescendo, a younger singer would really go for it and like go for the note and nail it, where he would whisper. Because everyone's already leaning forward, and then he would just take it down. And then everyone's like, oh, and it takes you, like, emotionally. And I think jazz is just more mature. It's just like an emotional thing. And it's hard to kind of describe what that is. But you know it when you hear it.
Do you think the singer needs to swing? Do you think they need to really have a good sense of time feel? And
oh, I'd prefer that they do. You know, Nat Cole could swing. Billie Holiday could swing. Ella could swing. Even like someone like Brad Meldow or whatever, you listen to his trailer and you're like, well, does he swing? He can swing, but it doesn't always swing. I think it's the intent. I think it's the intent and knowing the tradition and the history of where the song has come from, who's done the song before. Why should anyone listen to you sing, for all we know, when everybody's done it, you know? I mean, it's a valid question.
How would you answer that then?
Well, for me,
yeah.
I mean, it means a lot to me. It means, all these songs I chose because they meant a lot to me personally.
Chris, we're going to play Embraceable You, and just tell me a little bit about your version before we hear it.
You know, in the last 2 years, like, I've gotten married, I've been able to go to places I never thought I would, like Japan or Singapore, places that are pretty exotic to a Midwesterner from Minneapolis, you know. And it just gives you a different perspective. And I also have realized how important culturally these songs are. I mean, a lot of people ask me, why do you want to sing, you know, Embraceable You or something? You're a young guy.
Because
it's a beautiful song. This is like the peak of...
Yes, the craft of songwriting.
The craft, you know, for humanity. I mean, I usually don't even use the word jazz when I talk about these songs because they're just amazing songs. It was the popular music of the day. And it's important. And I tell you, every time I sing Embraceable You, people close their eyes and it takes them somewhere. And I'd like to say it was me, but it's really George Gershwin. You know, it's really these these writers who knew the secret formula.
Sure.
It's magic. Craftsman. It's a magic formula.
Well, we can go in to see you singing and close our eyes and be swept away at Ronnie Scott's on the 15th and 16th of September. But, Jose, let's listen to you and Jeff Neve play that track now from this wonderful new CD, For All We Know, and this is Embraceable You. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Pleasure.
You irreplaceable. Don't be a naughty baby. Come home to daddy, do my sweet embrace.
Jose James and Jeff Neve with their version of Embraceable You from the album For All We Know. And thanks again to Jose for coming in. You can see him with his quartet performing at Ronnie Scott's on the 15th and 16th of September. And that's, of course, in Frith Street, Soho, London West 1. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio. The New York Voices were very recently singing at Ronnie Scott's, and when I interviewed them for this show a few years ago, I became firm friends with Lauren Kinnon. Well, she's just released her solo CD, which has been a real labour of love for her, so I'm delighted that she's now signed, sealed and delivered Avalon. And here's the opening track, Until You're Mine.
Bathing in the shimmer of the moon.
Until You're Mine, written and sung by Lauren Kinnon, one of the New York Voices, whose CD Avalon is out now. Peter Eldridge played the piano. Paul Nowinski was on bass. Ben Whitman on drums and percussion. Romero Lubambo on guitar. Jay Ashby on percussion. And Barry Danielian on flugelhorn and trumpet. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on DAB digital radio. Pembrokeshire's Jazz and Blues Festival starts this week in Fishguard. It runs from the 26th of August to the 30th and features music from Nick Turner, the Laura Collins Trio and rising star Aaron Gosch. Trumpeter and flugelhorn player Harry Beckett has sadly died following a stroke last month. He's left a wonderful musical legacy behind him with many world-class recordings spanning from his work in the early 1970s with Mike Osborne and Alan Skidmore to this CD from 1999 with Chris Biscoe. Recorded live at the Band on the Wall in Manchester, this is Harry's own composition from the CD, Before and After, and this is Then as Now. Chris Biscoe on sax, Alistair Gavin on piano, Fred T. Baker on bass guitar and Tony Marsh on drums. And that was the late Harry Beckett on trumpet with his lively composition, Then As Now, another jazz great that we've sadly lost this year. We're now to someone who's probably just stepping off the stage at the California Club in Ipswich, renowned pianist and composer David Newton. His 2007 release, Portrait of a Woman, prompted The Telegraph to cite him as a true genius. Well, I love every track on this album, and all the tracks are written by Dave, but today I've chosen this trio piece called Now You Know. Dave Newton with Now You Know from his Portrait of a Woman CD. Dave on piano and keyboards, of course, Andrew Kleindert on double bass, and Steve Brown on drums. Well, that's almost it for this week's jazz lineup. Next week, we have an interview with vocal legend Norma Winston and hear music from her new CD out on the ECM record label. Radio 3 has plenty more jazz with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11:15. And this week, he has a double bill featuring concert sets from Django Bates and Polar Bear. Well, let's close with a track from the album Heart Play, the title of the beautiful and reflective duo CD from legendary bassist Charlie Hayden and guitarist Antonio Forcione. Antonio will be performing at this year's Edinburgh Festival on August the 23rd to the 29th at Prince's Street Gardens. So from Heart Play, here's Antonio on his own composition featuring Charlie Hayden with If. Until next time, from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. Part of a concert now from Oslo in 2008, the Norwegian Radio Orchestra conducted by Andrew Manzi. And three pieces here, a symphony by Mozart's Viennese friend and protégé Josef Eibler, Mozart's own C minor adagio and fugue. And first of all here, Mozart modernising the orchestration of Handel's Acis and Galatea. The Viennese in Mozart's time would never have swallowed Handel without some sweetening. And although our own age may frown on such things, there's no doubt Mozart did his work with skill, charm, respect and love. So, via Mozart, here are the overture and Act II prelude from Handel's Acis and Galatea. Thank you. The overture and Act Two prelude of Handel's Acis and Galatea, as orchestrated by Mozart, the Norwegian Radio Orchestra there, conducted in Oslo in 2008 by Andrew Manzi. Well, the players and Mozart himself now, his Adagio and Fugue in C minor, the fugue of which Mozart wrote originally for two pianos. Its theme is similar in shape to one from Bach's musical offering. Mozart then arranged it for strings and added an Adagio. Mozart's Adagio and Fugue in C minor, K546, the shape of that fugue, a little like one in Bach's musical offering. The players there in Oslo in 2008, the Norwegian Radio Orchestra conducted by Andrew Manzi. Well, finally, this concert to Mozart's Viennese friend and protégé, Josef Eibler, after Mozart, the greatest musical genius that Vienna now has. That was according to Albrechtsberger. Eibler was one of the composers who tried to complete Mozart's Requiem. But this is an Eibler original, a symphony in C major.
Thank you.